Okay, we're ready to go.
All right, this is the Library Advisory Board. We're calling to order on April 17th at 6:02 p.m. Is there anyone that would like to make public comments with the crowd? No public comments. So we're starting with 25-2672, the minutes of the Library Advisory Board meeting of March 20th, 2025. So are there any comments about our minutes? Oh, and attendance would be first. So we're going to back up. Don't listen to this recording, anyone, any members of the public. So thank you for reminding. So here we have Euphemia Gams, we've got Lisa Harris, Vice Chair, we've got Spencer.
Smith.
Oh my gosh. Director of the Libraries, Beth Beck, we've got Courtney Huggins and Connie, why am I blanking out, Gibson. Don't ask me to do last names. So we absent so far is, and we have Alicia over there waving. Do I need to say that you're here, Empress Dane, watching, making sure our city secretary, Empress Dane, is here making sure that we do everything right. Thank you very much. And Stephanie Harrison is here, librarian, to talk to us later. And Edith Reese is coming to talk to you. So absent today is Stacy Ridenour. She may be coming, but we'll let you know. And we have Jonathan Sims and Catherine Kelly who are absent. And now we'll move on to 25-2672, the minutes of the Library Advisory Board meeting for March 20th, 2025. Redo. Any comments? All right, would anyone like to make a motion to approve the minutes?
I move we approve the minutes.
Connie Gibson,
I move we approve the minutes.
A second?
I second. Euphemia Gans.
Euphemia Gans, second. So all in favor? Of approving, that's okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All opposed? The minutes have passed. The motion passed to approve the minutes. Next, we have 25-2673, the update on 2025 McKinney Board and Commission member appointments.
Good evening, Chair and Board members. I'm Edith Reese, Accreditation and Reporting Specialist. This is a quick information update regarding the Boards and Commission member appointment process. Each year, approximately half of the Boards and Commission appointments expire, so we're currently taking applications from the public who wish to apply and serve on the Board and Commission, including current members who are interested in reappointment. On Tuesday, August 26th, the City Council will appoint members to the various Boards and Commission. Board members can serve up to 2 or 3 consecutive full terms depending on which board they are assigned to. To be considered, all interested individuals must complete an application online and participate in an interview. The application can be found on the city's website, and the deadline to apply is June 20, 2025. Interviews will be conducted in July and August. In addition, to be prepared for board service, open government training and any other assigned training must be completed before October 1st. On the text file, you'll find information regarding your service record, which details your eligibility for reappointment. And in accordance with the Boards and Commission's eligibility policy, the maximum consecutive full terms allowed for this board is 2. And from the current roster, we have 5 members with terms expiring this year and are eligible for reappointment. The remaining members all have terms expiring next year, so at that time we will revisit this information to provide you with the details. That concludes my update. I do want to thank you all for your service, and I'll stand for any questions.
Any questions?
Do you know what the interview format's going to be this year?
I do not know the interview format, but I can follow up with you on that.
Okay.
Are you asking if it's going to be in front of City Council like it has?
Well, I mean, it's been in front of, like, everybody that applies. goes before council, and then they've done it in front of the entire city council. Sometimes it's just one or two city council members. Changes. I just wondered.
I will follow up with you if there's any changes or if it'll be the same format.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any other questions?
Thank you so much for providing this update for us.
You're welcome.
Next, we have 2025-2674, discuss updates on the McKinney Public Library Foundation. Is that okay?
Spencer Smith, Director of Libraries. We don't have a representative from the Library Foundation here with us today, but I can very quickly say that they hosted their first fundraiser, the Soiree and the Stacks, and I believe they raised a little over $7,500 that night. It was a great event, lots of people coming to support the library and the foundation, and very excited to hear when they report at the next board meeting everything that came out of that. I know that everybody there seemed to enjoy themselves. So
it was very well done. Very impressive. Are you serving on the board, Lisa, still? Are you a board liaison?
I am still the board. So anytime you provide an update, I can do that.
Well done. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to the next item, 25-2675, discuss the traveling exhibit Storyland, a trip through childhood favorites with Stephanie Harrison.
Hello, everyone. I'm Stephanie Harrison. I'm a librarian at the library. And today I'm going to tell you all about our exhibit that we have coming this summer that we are super excited about. Alrighty, so just a little bit of background on exhibits that we have at the library. Last year we had two. The Legacy Keepers brought in some of their stuff they had on local Black history for McKinney that we brought in for Black History Month. And that went so well that we actually created one the next month for Women's History. We were able to find and download some posters and put up. Both of those exhibits were very well received by the community, so we decided to make it a council goal for FY25 to host three no-charge museum-quality exhibits, hopefully bringing in 30,000 people. To do that, we asked for a supplemental budget request of $65,000 because exhibits are expensive. And so luckily we were awarded the money to be able to bring some in and get some really cool things into the library.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely. This?
When you asked for the budget request, did you specifically ask for certain exhibits or just to have exhibits?
Just to have three awesome. Exhibits. Mm-hmm. It's a combined, yes, of 30,000. So our parameters that we were looking for were specifically the cost, knowing that we have 65,000 and a goal of bringing in three. We got to be able to split that between all three of them and make it all equitable, but still bring in stuff that we think the community wants to see and is fun and entertaining. We wanted it for spring or summer of 2025, just so that we know with hall closing, it was going to be at JJG, so it's going to be a fun, exciting thing that, hey, we're not losing hall, but we're bringing something else exciting and fun to bring in. And then that it must fit in an open space, it being at JJG, and all of our rooms are going to be used for programming all summer long, so we want it out and open, but then we want it accessible at all times and to be seen and not be hidden in a room. So that led us through researching a lot of them. What we could find available this summer was Storyland, a trip through childhood favorites. It met our cost requirements of what we were looking to spend. It cost $5,000 to rent, approximately $3,200 to ship, and then there's a $2,000 setup fee that allows a technician to come and help us set it up and get it put safely and securely plug things in, get everything working so that it all runs smoothly once we open it. It is only 5,000 square feet or 500 square feet, which was nice, and it has a flexible design. We found that most of them have a beginning and an end, so it had to go a very specific way. This one doesn't have that, so it allowed us to play with the space that we have available for that 5,000 or 500. So it was really nice. Definitely one of the features that made us choose this.
And it was where did it come from? Does it come from another library or a museum?
It come from the Minnesota Children's Museum. They run out exhibits that are all based on kid-based things, and so we've rented it from them. It is available for summer 25, which was something we learned, that exhibits are typically booked 2 to 3 years in advance. So finding one available for this summer was great. And then, so you see there, we'll have a delivery date of May 19th, and then we don't have to return it till the middle of September. And it fit in perfectly with our summer theme, which is a storybook summer. So what is Storyland? It's an immersive exhibit into these three classic books: Snowy Day, The Tale of Peter Rabbit, and Where's Spot? And I have a video for you to show you what those components will look like. See, we were really excited to find something that brought stories to life that kids read every year in our library. You really get to step into it, and who knew that you could go plant in McGregor's garden or play in Peter Rabbit's burrow. It's just going to be such a fun experience for people who come and to enjoy. And as we look through the summer and do the storybook summer and focus on stories and types of stories, it just really fits in with it. Well, as we got going along, obviously there were challenges that we had. It's our first exhibit. We didn't quite know what to do. So specifically the layout, how do we put an exhibit in the library, number one, and then how do you put an exhibit in a library and it still be a library and function as a library? So we've managed to figure out how to do it, and I'll show you the layout in just a second, with just moving a few furniture pieces, but still really being fun and in the kids' area at the John and Judy Gay Library. Storage is an issue. As we go down to one library, we're combining everything between the two locations. So where are we going to store the items as we get ready for setup and as we break down? And then we also have to take care of four by eight carts that all of the items are stored in, or that are brought in. We have to store them while it's here in our care. As far as managing the exhibit, staffing was one, because we have to provide a docent, so to speak, for every hour that it's open, but we're going to use both staff time and utilize volunteers to help us get there. How do we keep up with pieces it's a big question. As you saw, there's lots of manipulatives. That makes it fun, but we got to keep up with them. So working through, how do we count pieces? How do we make sure it's all there? How do we encourage volunteers to remind kids that it needs to stay in the area and not take them home? You know, who wouldn't want to take home a big bunny rabbit? I know that's going to try and walk out, but just trying to keep it together. How do we count visitors? To meet that council goal, we got to know how many people are coming. So are we doing low-tech things like giving out stickers? Or are we doing high-tech, like a laser? Every time the laser's broken, it counts for us, and then we just get that number at the end. And then we wanted to do what we're calling enhancements. So instead of just putting the exhibit in the library, and that's cool enough, but what else can we do to heighten the experience? And then obviously cleaning and care while we have it. It'll hopefully see so many people a day, but we just got to keep it nice so that we can send it back. And we have to report any damage that happens while it's in ours library. So the layout, I know this is going to be kind of confusing. So where we're going to put it is, you know, when you walk into John and Judy Gay and you make that right turn to head to the kids area, that's where it's going to be. Right now, there's a bunch of DVD, like carousels. We're going to relocate those over to the adult area. So that way, as you make that corner, there's going to be that big welcome book, and then Peter Rabbit's Burrow is right there, and then the garden and stuff will be behind it. So it's nice and big, and you can see it. And then around the corner, kind of by the water fountain, currently there's a catalog computer there and a desk to pick up brochures and things. That's where we're going to put the little wear spot, little games with the little turn and make the spot picture. And there's extra books to read so that you can read the little spot character and stuff. And then as you move along that same wall, right now we have a whole bunch of kids' computers. We're going to temporarily remove those kids' computers to put Snowy Day in that area, because it's got, as you saw in the video, it's got where you can walk in the snow and it crunches as you go along, but it's also got his bedroom, and then it's got the snowman building area, so we want to make sure that that's got a lot of room. And then in area four is some of the other stuff, the informational pillar that they had, that was why it's important to read, what you're learning that you don't know about, for the parents to read and know kind of the goals of the experience. And then they have a word PlayStation that's kind of a game where you flip back and forth. That's going to go kind of around the corner to where the stage is. That's what we're planning now. We'll see when it gets here and when the technician tells us what we need power for and what needs to move around. But the idea is to keep it in that kind of area so that it is in the kids' area. We get the right audience there, but then it's all still together relatively. And then for those enhancements, we really wanted to look and do activities that were based on the books. So some of the fun things we have planned is like for Snowy Day. Obviously, it's summer in Texas. We are not going to get snow. So we're going to invite the children to make snowflakes to put up and help us decorate and create that atmosphere, but participate in it. And we'll have that out every day so that they can do it in addition to going through the exhibit. It's right next to the sound circle. So that's that circular set of shelving that's got the holiday books in it. It's got a one-directional speaker in it. So we're going to have staff read the books out loud. So you could take a break and go listen to the book while you're there. They're included in as a part of the exhibit, but we thought having it read to you is just, especially if you just want to take a break, be a nice little thing, but it's just an enhancement. It just makes it cooler. We plan on doing some character story times and pop-ups. We plan on renting out the spot and the Peter Rabbit costume so that he can pop up and kids can meet him and take pictures and just have a fun experience, and then hopefully incorporate it into programming. So with the, you can see in that bottom picture, the snow, we're going to use our snow machine that we bought this last year and turn it on as a highlight for Snowy Day so that kids can play in the snow, even though it's July. but that's going to be a part of our summer kickoff as a, there were 26 inches of snow. It's the most amount of snow that we've ever gotten in Texas. So we're going to show kids how big that is and then let them play in the snow. So it's all kind of bringing it back to more than just the exhibit, but here's some more things to make it better. So obviously we're really excited. We have a lot of ideas. We're still working through some of those challenges. But I just wanted to leave y'all with the specific dates. We're going to get it the middle of May. We're going to have a soft launch on May 24th. It will open. People will be able to use it and start playing with it. But our official kickoff date for it will coincide with our summer kickoff. And we will get to keep it until September 7th, and then we have to return it on September 12th. So it's going to be fun. I think a lot of the kids and families will highly enjoy it. I know staff's really looking forward to it. So what questions can I answer?
I always have questions. So I'm going to ask one. Do you have one, Lisa? I'm just wondering about the cleaning. My daughter was a children's pastor for 5 years, and I used to have to come in and clean mm-hmm. with her. So will you have to wipe down the surfaces? How is that done? Or are the surfaces kind of antibacterial because of how they're made? I'm just curious what your expectations as staff will be.
They have provided us with the products that we can clean it with and a schedule to keep it clean. So, yeah, it was really nice. We just follow what they
That's
do.
Awesome.
Well, first off, I'll just say great job and congratulations on the exhibit. I think it's going to be great. I just imagine it's going to be great. Have you forecasted, like, when you first open, I can just imagine just kids running like crazy and that. So will you have extra staff and kind of helping and setting that the expectations up?
Correct.
With parents.
Correct. So with hall closing, we plan on using as many extra staff on the floor to maintain it and help it function and not turn into just pure chaos. But that's why we wanted some of those other enhancement things, like the making the snowflakes or filling out coloring sheets and things like that. So if the other pieces are crazy, you can go take a break in the sound circle, or you can go do a coloring sheet and then come back. So everybody's not trying to do the same three things all at the same time.
One more question, because in the video they showed the little, they were able to make postcards. Do you get that part too? Does that come with it?
It was not in our...
It's leading on
that. I know. It was not in our list of things that are coming, so we are not planning for it, but it'd be really cool if it did.
Oh.
I can speak, there's an alternative version that's roughly 2,500 square feet. With hall closing for renovation, we obviously can't fit a 20. And you saw how much 500 square feet takes up. So the big one includes Chicka Chicka Boom Boom, and if you give a massive cookie. So it might be something that we can revisit at a later date when hall's open. But this will not be a ticketed exhibit. So as she mentioned, trying to track users is going to be difficult and a challenge, but it also means the ebb and flow of when people are coming and when people aren't coming is a learning experience for us, because we do have a goal of almost constantly having exhibits at Hall Library when we open. This is our first toe in the water. So everything that happens here, good or bad, will be good because we'll learn from it. And we are also working with Annie, our volunteer coordinator, to we'll put the word out in the coming weeks that we are looking for volunteers who want to spend as much time in the exhibits, helping, educating the kids, you know, talking to them about the exhibits as possible. Plus, somebody's got to wear those costumes.
We actually have a volunteer who is super excited to dress up, so hopefully they will be available on those days.
Well, the other thing, making the snowflakes is kind of the alter, because I was thinking, oh, you could do the same thing on your own, but you're making snowflakes. So that's kind of like what you would get if you were sending postcards, but you're taking your snowflake home. The snow machine, who's cleaning that up? I mean, is that a one-time thing or every day? So you just have snow everywhere all the time?
No, it's going to be at certain times. So
I mean,
not
cool.
Right. Specifically right now, it's looking at the kickoff. But if we see that after a specific story time, all the time there's a lot of people there, then we may add in extra things like the snow machine.
What's the approximate age range that you think this is going to appeal to?
We have their documents tell us from 0 to 8.
Okay.
Is the goal.
And have you started looking for the next?
We have. Yes. Okay. We're looking at some stuff for hopefully Earth Day next year.
There's a very long Teams thread about all the potential things that are out there. So it really is kind of, when's it available? How much does it cost? How much space does it take up? Is there an alternative size? Can it go outside? Do we partner with someone? There's all kinds of stuff, but staff is very excited about it. And then this budget year, we are asking for an exhibits coordinator to come in as a specialist to both help this process, but also potentially find partners and extra funding for certain things that may be beyond our initial budget. So,
any other questions or comments? Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Really wonderful. Look forward to it. All right, next we're moving on to the reports. We're going to 25-2676, the director's report with Spencer Smith.
See how that looks on the giant screen.
It'll look cool. Not that.
Okay, so Spencer Smith, Director of Libraries, just talking about the April Library Advisory Board report. So last month, circulation was actually down versus the same period last year and the year before. But I would like to point out that Easter was not in March this year. And when you see our program attendance, that was about a 600-person program last year that was an Easter program, and that will lead to a lot more circulation. But typically, if you look, it's still almost 148,000 items circulated. And then, Alicia, can you scroll down to the next thing? This is where, thank you. And it corresponds with our number of unique borrowers was down a little bit as well, but also the program was a little different. And then we also changed how we did spring break this year. We did, I believe, 6 different spring break events, and we targeted them not at all ages, but only at school-aged and below children. And I think that also impacted. The quality was high, but the numbers weren't the same for those programs as well. But our study rooms, we actually use more than they were used last year. So it's a real dichotomy of how the spaces were used. And we actually created more new members than we had last year. And then just some notes. The women still remain strong with adult fiction. Hillbilly Elegy still going strong with adult nonfiction. And the most reserved title is the which makes sense. It's the most checked out and the most reserved. And the most checked out movie or watched movie was Barbie and the Three Musketeers. Interestingly, last March, the most watched movie was Barbie, but very different Barbie than this movie. And then our stream video, Byzantium, Tale of Three Cities, is a very interesting kind of educational travel video about that part of the world. My brain just went blank, geography. We still satisfied, if you see, more holds than we ever have before. So people are still utilizing that feature very strongly. We transport those back and forth. In addition to those holds, what's not shown here is we've begun transporting thousands of items from Hall Library to John and Judy Gay. So if you're at Hall and it looks empty, it's because it is getting empty. We are sending the popular stuff over to John and Judy Gay. If people put it on hold, we'll bring it back. But the John and Judy Gay shelves are starting to fill up. That's because when we close down on June 13th, we want to make sure we have to do as little work as possible after that. We want to have cleared all that stuff out before then.
Can I ask you a quick question about the holds? So it's my understanding that the holds, you can pick them up here, but you have to return them to John and Judy Gay?
We will have a space in City Hall to pick them up, but we will not have a space to return because the return accuracy, if you just leave it with a staff member here, they're going to have to take it all the way over there to get it returned and back on the shelf. And we, quite honestly, the responsibility for that on the volume we anticipate is going to be a little tough. So they do check out for 3 weeks. It is a 20-minute trip from here to there. And that's right now, that's the plan. So if you're on your way, because there'll be other inconveniences, picking up will only be available here when City Hall is open. So it's already a little different, and you'll have to pick it. The messaging will come out soon. I believe our plan is to default everyone to John and Judy Gay, but let them know through messaging that if you'd like to pick, you can pick City Hall. Here's how you do it, and then their holds will be picked up here. But yes, we will ask that they return them there. The other thing is when they return them at John and Judy Gay, even at the drive-thru, it's going to be checked in immediately off the record 24 hours a day. And so here, we have issues with transporting. When humans are involved, errors increase. And so we have issues transporting from one library to the other with 100% accuracy. Mm-hmm. And so when we get this volume with no automated way to check them in here, we just anticipate that it would lead to a lot more problems than we would solve.
So there's a drive-through.
John and Judy Gay.
Okay, yeah. Good night.
24 hours a day. And then if you scroll down a little bit more, you'll see our program attendance was down, but again, I'd like to point out that there was no Easter program. And in addition to that, our spring break programs last year had a higher attendance. We had fewer of them, but they were much more highly attended. But I believe our adult program attendance was up. I believe our and some of our other ages were up. It was really just those special events in all ages where it was down. And then you can see the last year, the average attendance is higher at John and Judy, or is lower at John and Judy, get higher at Hall. That's because we had our Easter program at Hall last year, and that's a big gap there. And also, all spring break programs were at John and Judy Gay this year. But hours volunteered, Annie, our volunteer coordinator, is still doing a great job recruiting, training, retaining volunteers. So we had over 815 hours of volunteer service. And to point out again, this is not what we used to do, where teens would come in and cut up pieces of paper. These are helping with programs, helping set up for programs, clean up after programs, pull books off the shelf to fill those 12,000 holds. It's really meaningful work that saves the city in the library time and money and allows us to work at a higher level of providing that service. And at least if you can scroll back up, now you can see all the smiling children's faces from our spring break program. So very well attended, high quality program. With that, I'll stand for any questions.
Not a question, but a comment. I was talking to James Bresnahan that owns the flour mill today, and he said if there's any outside of the box way that the flour mill can help with anything during the time that the whole library's down. He wants to
That's help. Great to hear. I know we have our outreach librarians, some of our programming librarians looking for where are the best places to do programs on this side of town. For instance, the Literary Festival will be our second time doing it. That will be in City Hall in this building. I believe we've got some plans to do programs at Old Settlers Recreation Center and potentially, I think, some plans to use this space out here. But if it rains, the flour mill might be a really good alternative to set up for that. Ravathi has been, that's our one of our outreach librarians. She's been really great at making those proactive relationships. I will let her know. Hopefully he won't regret having offered that because she's very good at taking people up on their offers. Thank you.
Any other comments? All right. Thank you, Spencer. It's an awesome report as always. So are there any public comments about from the members of the public for any non-agenda items? Now, or any other comments from the board about the agenda today?
I love the new format. I love the new
City Hall.
Council chambers.
This is awesome pretty. To be in here. Maybe not hearing ourselves on a microphone, but thank you, Connie. All right, so it is 6:39. Would anyone like to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll second.
Okay, Courtney first, and then Lisa's seconding. So all in favor of adjourning our meeting?
Aye.
Unanimous. The meeting is adjourned at 6:39.
Well done.
Thank you.